We begin a new section of our Advent devotional guide today, Judgment for Judah, selections from Jeremiah 26 through 29 and 34 through 45. Here's this section's introduction. Despite the persistent warnings, God's people refused to listen to Jeremiah. Because of their unfaithfulness, they would face punishment for the sins at the hand of Babylon. These chapters remind us of the seriousness of sin and the consequences for our sin. Yet even in the upheaval of judgment, there are glimmers of hope, for God keeps His promises. As we read these chapters in the midst of Advent, we enter into the sorrow God's people must have felt watching their home country be destroyed. We also enter into their sorrow as they wait for God to come and deliver them. In some ways, their waiting mirrors ours, as we too wait for Christ to come again and make right all that is broken in this world and in our hearts. Our scripture for today comes from Jeremiah chapter 29. If you have your copy of scripture, let's begin together. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elash, son of Saphine, and to Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. You may say, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon, but this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all the people who remain in this city, your fellow citizens who did not go with you into exile. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword, famine, and plague against them, and I will make them like figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with the sword, famine, and plague, and will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth, a curse and an object of horror, of scorn and reproach among all the nations where I drive them. For they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord. Words that I sent to them again and again by my servants, the prophets. And you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says about Ahab, son of Kaliah, and Zedekiah, son of Maaseiah, who are prophesying lies to you in my name. I will deliver them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will put them to death before your very eyes. Because of them, all the exiles from Judah who are in Babylon will use this curse. May the Lord treat you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon burned in the fire. For they have done outrageous things in Israel. They have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and in my name they have uttered lies which I did not authorize. I know it, and am a witness to it, declares the Lord. Tell Shemaiah the Nelamite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You sent letters in your own name to all the people in Jerusalem, to the priest Zephaniah, son of Messiah, and to all the other priests. You said to Zephaniah, the Lord has appointed you priest in place of Jehoiada, in the charge of the house of the Lord. You should put any maniac who acts like a prophet in the stocks and neck irons. So why have you not reprimanded Jeremiah from Anathoth, who poses as a prophet among you? He has sent this message to us in Babylon. It will be a long time. Therefore, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Zephaniah the priest, however, read the letter to Jeremiah the prophet. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Send this message to all the exiles. This is what the Lord says about Shemaiah the Nelamite. Because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, even though I did not send him, and has persuaded you to trust in lies, this is what the Lord says. I will surely punish Shemaiah the Nelamite and his descendants. He will have no one left among this people, nor will he see the good things I will do for my people, declares the Lord, because he has preached rebellion against me. The 29th chapter of Jeremiah, especially verse 11, is among the most quoted and beloved of all of Jeremiah's prophecy. And while it is beautiful to rest in the promise that God has a plan for us, in the context of the full letter, we're reminded that plan might not always be the easy path we might have hoped for. The context of Jeremiah's letter is to set the theological framework for the people's exile to Babylon and give them a concrete plan for moving into the future. Their well-deserved exile is assured, as is their not at all deserved homecoming to the Promised Land. God's justice is matched by his mercy. But this journey from exile to restoration will not be a short one. A full generation, 70 years, will be lived in a place that is not their home. What can they do as they await God's promise being fulfilled, especially when a large number of them almost certainly won't live to see it happen? Jeremiah provides the answer. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. In short, even while they wait, they need to live abundant lives and care deeply for the place in which they are temporarily residing. Advent is well known as the season of waiting for the coming of the Lord as a baby at Christmas. It is also a reminder that we still await the fulfillment of God's promise that Christ will come again. Some Christians have been misguided, believing that because Jesus is coming back someday, nothing that happens here and now is of any importance. While they might not say it, their actions demonstrate their belief that the world can go to hell because I'm going to Jesus. Jeremiah's letter to the exiles doesn't let us hold on to that false and unfaithful way of living. We are called to live full, abundant, and purpose-filled lives even as we wait for Jesus to come. We are not to treat the here and now as a waiting room for the sweet by and by. We are to seek the welfare of the place God has us. Advent reminds us that all God's promises are trustworthy. God holds our future, so we need not be anxious as we wait. Instead, we are to be hard at work in our waiting, building, settling, planting, eating, marrying, increasing, praying, prospering, in order that as we wait for Christ to come, we might be used of God as an answer to the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.